Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week's episode, I want to focus on what's the perfect way, because everybody's always chasing a certain number when it comes to them wanting to be in a calorie deficit, or if they feel they have a lot to weight, if they have a lot of weight to lose, they sometimes have this target number. But before I jump into it, the usual updates, running calorie deficit. So this is my last week in a calorie deficit, and I also had an 18 kilometer run this week, so I was carb loading just the day beforehand. So the scale will be a bit up and down. I think I'm doing my period now. This is a Tuesday evening I'm recording this. I think my menstrual cycle starts this weekend. So the scale is going to fluctuate. So I am going to focus on how my body looks more so than the numbers, because I've been still ticking boxes. I haven't been going off the rails or like going over my calories or anything like that. When I was carb loading, I was sticking to my maintenance calories, and then sure, like I burned 1,100 calories in that 18 kilometer run. But this is the last week, so well, I don't know whether it's going to be next Wednesday or this Wednesday, but I'm going away to Benidorm this weekend, so I don't mind finishing it up on Thursday, because when I come back, it's going to be a Sunday night, and then I only have Monday and Tuesday. Like, yeah, I could probably go into a deficit on those 2 days, but I don't think my results are going to change much between Friday morning and Tuesday. So yeah, I don't know what my coach suggests, but this is the 14th week, so that's the amount of weeks we planned on doing it. So I will take my after pictures. I've been taking them weekly anyway, but I'm going to put them side by side and compare them. I might do a video. So I usually do a carousel post on my Instagram page to update people on a weekly basis about how it's going, but I'm really happy with how it's went. So to date, I've lost, I'm at 66.0. And I started at 65.8. So let me just see how many pounds I've lost, or how many kilos. So 65.8 take away 60.0 equals 5.8 kilos, and then multiply by 2.2. So 13 pounds, 12.76. So we'll just round off to 13. So yeah, just a pound shy of a stone. So I'm delighted with that. As I said, when I was going to Lanzarote in January, it was the end of January, I was around 60 kg. And then I went to Arizona, enjoyed some food over there. Then I went to New York over Paddy's weekend. So I was drinking a fair bit, and then, you know, trying all the pizza places and bakeries and stuff. And then I went to Oz in Australia. So less kind of drinking over there, more so enjoying the food. And I gained like, you know, 12 pounds over the 4 months or 5 months, I should say. And then the plan was to go into a deficit for the summer, because I was having a low key summer. I wasn't going anywhere. So I got to knuckle down. And this was kind of the only window I had. I didn't want to do it all the way leading up to, I didn't want to enjoy my summer and then do a deficit leading up to the marathon. Like, Jesus Christ. And I am delighted that it's finishing, because I can already feel my pace starting to improve now. Like, some weeks it is hit and miss. Like, I'm like, what's going on here? Like, I've been training since January, I feel like nothing's improving. And then you just go out one more and you're like, whoa, like you feel like after breaking records. So I did my 18 kilometer run this morning, and I was actually dreading it all week, because I did a 15 kilometer run last week and I had like a 5:55 pace, and today it was 5:40, and a lot of the splits, a lot of the laps I done, so like every kilometre were like 5:33. I think my fastest one was 5:25. Like, a lot of them were under 5:40. And then like as I was getting to like the later end of the run, it was like, say, 5:44 or 5:50. That was like, I think, the highest one. When usually the last 5 kilometres of a long run like that, I'm in the 6 minute pace and I'm like dying of death. And I think the one thing, you learn loads from every run that you do, but I think the one thing that I done correctly with this run was, obviously, I'm doing 3 runs a week. So one of them is an interval session. So if you're not interested in running, this probably isn't interesting to you. But if you ever did want to get into running, this is what you do, you know, especially if you're training for a marathon or any type of race. I do an interval session. So that's basically where you run a certain amount of time at a quicker pace, so faster than my usual 5:40 pace. So for example, I will do 10 rounds of 400 meters. So I can do that outside, or I can do it on a treadmill, and you have a setting on your Garmin, so it will track like how the distance that you run, and it'll tell you to stop then, and then you take a rest, like a walking rest, or else you run a little bit slower. So 10 by 400 meters, and then you're going like at a 4:50 pace to a 5 minute pace, which is quick. But what happens is you're teaching your body to go at a faster pace for a short amount of time. So that way, when you actually are going at your goal pace, your marathon pace, which is 5:40 for me, it actually feels a bit easier because your body has been conditioned to run at a fast pace, that when it's going at like a 5:40 pace, it doesn't feel as challenging because it's spending a lot of time running at a quick pace during the week, that it's like, oh, this is actually not that tough anymore. It's like going into a gym and, you know, lifting a really, really heavy weight for like 3 to 5 reps. When you actually pick up the weight that you usually do, it feels so much lighter then, you know, which is, I don't know if you've ever heard me speak about a drop set. So a drop set is where, say, you're doing 3 rounds of like a barbell squat. So you'll do 2 heavy rounds where, say, you're doing 100 kg. Now, that's really, really heavy for a woman. Like, we'll just say 80 kg. So you're doing 2 rounds, 80 kg, 10 to 12 reps. That's going to feel really, really tough, okay? And you'll probably only be able to get 8 reps because it's so heavy. A drop set is, on the third round, you knock off 20% of the weight. So that's about, we'll just round off here. That's, let's just say it's 40 kg, okay? So you take off 20 kg. And now you're going to do 12 to 15 reps with 40 kg, excuse me. And that's going to feel so much lighter to you because you've just jumped from a really heavy weight now to a lighter weight. And you're going to be able to do more reps then, you know. But it's definitely helping. I've been doing intervals for months, you know, since I started training. And then I do another run. It's called an endurance run, where you're just trying to run at your kind of like 5:40 pace to maybe 6 minutes. Like, it's kind of an easy enough run. And then you do your long run, all right? We are trying to hold like your marathon, your goal pace for most of it. Sometimes it can be a recovery run. Sometimes it can be an easy run. But for me, like, it's usually where I'm trying to stick to marathon pace. But, you know, I was dreading this run this morning. I really was. It was hanging out with me for a few days because your confidence can't get knocked. I went out to do 15 kilometers there a few weeks ago and it was like 25 degrees out. And when I got to 10 kilometers, I was like, well, when I got to 4 or 5 in, like, I was at a 6 minute pace. Now, that's what I started doing when I was in January. So I was like, what's going on here? Like, I thought I had advanced beyond 6 minutes. Like, you know, I'm training like eight months here. What's going on? And it's the heat. It's the heat. And like 6 or 7 kilometers in, I was like, oh my God, like, I don't have 15 in me. Like, I just, the way I'm feeling, like, and I struggled from like 9 kilometers on, and at 12 I just had to stop. I just felt physically sick. I felt like fainting. And I know I always talk about like persevering and like, you know, don't listen to the inner critic, and it wants you to stop, it wants you to it wants you to be comfortable. It doesn't like discomfort, but like this didn't feel like that. This was like, no, like I could actually pass out. Like, I actually feel like throwing up. And I was just underfueled, dehydrated probably as well. I probably didn't hydrate enough. So I learned a lot from that run. And every run that you do will be different, and you'll learn something from every run, and no two runs will be the same. So when I went out on my 18 kilometer run this morning, the day before, I carb loaded. I actually put up a video on carb loading and how to do that. And and then I got the Salt. The brand is called Salt Stick. I ordered them off Amazon. I'm going to do stories on how I feel during my race or during my runs. The brand is called Salt Stick. So they're just like these, you know, like those chalk vitamins that you can eat. Well, it's like that texture, but they're electrolytes. So you can drop like an electrolyte into a glass and it fizzes up and you can drink it. But these ones you can actually eat like a vitamin. You don't need water. So I bought like 5 packs of them on Amazon, and you take 2 every half hour when you're out on a run. So I brought 6 of those with me because I was planning on doing an hour and 45. So that would cover me. And I got these chews, they're called, these glucose chews. Precision is the name of the brand. I got them on Amazon also. So a lot of people recommended them to me because the high 5 energy gels I was taking were just muck. Like, I was taking them like for a good while. But they just taste awful warm. And when they're in like your pocket and you're out running for a long period and then you have to eat them, and they're like, it's like eating tea. It's disgusting. And these ones had caffeine in them when I used them on my my 15 kilometer run last week. When I went out to redo the 15 kilometer run, I successfully done it. They made me feel sick. And then these ones had caffeine in them. So I actually, when I finished my 15 kilometer run, like, my stomach literally was like, get to a toilet quick. Thank God I was on the home stretch. So yeah, I just changed them up, and they're literally like, I don't know what I could, the texture of them, you know, a Turkish delight. It would be similar to that texture, but it's not chocolate, if you know what I mean. So yeah, you're supposed to consume 60 grams of carbs per hour when you're out on a long run. So one chew has 40 grams. So you eat one chew every half hour and then take another one the next half hour, you know. So brought my electrolytes with me, my chews, and I brought like a rubber flask with like 250 mils of water that I put in my vest. I have a vest, which I also got off Amazon, and I got the flask off Amazon as well. And yeah, I brought that with me. And I have to say, between the carb load and getting a good night's sleep, and drank loads of water yesterday as well, and obviously had a bowl of Shreddies then an hour before I went out on the run, because they would be high in carbs, same as Rice Krispies. And I had like just a biscuit. So that was about 50 grams of carbs. And yeah, went out on my run. And for the first 3 kilometers now, I felt like shit. That's when your inner critic is at its loudest. It's like, just stop, you know, just go home. But one of the toughest things about long runs is it's the mindset. Sometimes your body can be fit and able, but it's the mindset. Now, the run I was talking about with the heat, like that was more of a physical thing rather than a mental thing. But sometimes, like when you're thinking like you have to run 18 kilometers now, I'm not even trying to think about 42 kilometers at the minute. But a lot of people tell me as well, oh, you just break it up into 4 tenths and then it's just the last 2 kilometers. And that's what I done on this 18 kilometer run today. I ran along the Grand Canal. So if you live in Dublin, you know what I'm talking about. I ran from Clondalkin. It's just a straight road. It was a lovely morning as well. I went out at 9:15 because I wanted to basically get my body used to running at that time, because the Dublin Half Marathon and the full marathon are going to be in the morning time. So I do a lot of my runs in the afternoon, but I want to get used to running long distances in the morning time, you know. So yeah, went out at 9:15 and finished at around 11 o'clock. And yeah, ran out to Portobello. And not Portobello, sorry, we're on the South Circular Road and ran back. And it was actually, so what I did was I said, right, Anya, just focus on the first 9 kilometres. You've ran loads of 10Ks, loads of 12Ks, 15Ks, and you've obviously ran a few 18Ks as well, but just focus on the first 9 kilometres and then you just turn back and you're on the home stretch then. So I wasn't even looking at my watch. The earpods were in my ear. The Garmin was telling me 1st kilometre, 4:38, 2nd kilometre, 5:35. I was like, grand, the way I'm moving at the moment, I'm hitting my paces. So I just went to another universe in my head. And before I knew it, I was like, holy shit, like I'm actually cruising here. I was so impressed with myself. And then on the way back, like I probably slowed down a little towards the last like 3 kilometres, but a little to me, or what used to be slowing down to me, was like over 6 minute pace, and this was like a 5:40 pace. I was like, wow, like, you know, all this training is starting to add up. But also because I put the work in and I fueled correctly the day before, I hydrated enough, and I had all that shit on me in my vest, that would have helped me, as opposed to just running out bare. I didn't bring anything with me today that I could only get to 12 kilometers because I nearly died from heat stroke. Didn't have anything on me. I had gels, that was about it, but sure, they didn't do anything. So yeah, I was really, really happy with that. But yeah, it really is a mindset thing. I was like, right, just focus on getting to 9 kilometers. And you know, you can trick your brain. Your brain will just think, oh, we're only doing 9. And then you just turn back and you're like, all right, well, if I want to get home, I'm going to have to go back this way. So I better run rather than walk. And then, yeah, I was just dreading it. And then before you know it, it's over. But yeah, look, sometimes I feel like, you know, TikTok, Instagram, like a lot of people can just put up their highlight reels. And someone actually messaged me about this today. You know, I love how honest you are about your running, because, you know, they were right. I am honest, and I want people to see that it's not easy all the time. Some people on TikTok and Instagram, they make it seem like every run they do, like they absolutely smash it. And you never see them putting up the struggles, you know. And it, what it does is it warps your progress. You're thinking to yourself, God, am I falling behind? Like, why am I not this good? And, you know, this person seems to be smashing it, but they're not putting up the runs where they had to stop 2 kilometers short, or, you know, they aren't saying, oh, you know, like I didn't feel properly yesterday. Like I felt it out on that run. Like they're just putting up their highlight reels. It's very similar to lads who gamble. They only post their winning bets. They never post their losing bets. So yeah, I'm as transparent as they come, you know. And yeah, I stopped a few times on the 18 kilometer run, but I did it strategically. Obviously, there was a lot of lights because there was a lot of bridges when you're running down the canal. I did stop at a few lights. Sometimes I paused my watch, sometimes I didn't. But I stopped briefly to chew my chewables, because otherwise, you know, you're choking when you're panting so much, and to chew my electrolytes, which probably took about like 30 seconds to a minute, but that's okay. I didn't stop in the middle of a kilometer. I waited every 6 kilometers to do something like that, you know. But anyway, let's move on to the point of this podcast. I know a lot of people who listen to this probably just have no interest in running, but maybe I'm educating you, maybe I'm not. My 8-week challenge actually finishes up this week as well. All the girls finish up this week. Well, their final check-in is this week, and they would have had their final week last week. So we had the final group call on Monday, and I was basically just teaching them about, like, we do a Zoom and they tune in at 8 o'clock every Monday evening. And this one was about how to exit a calorie deficit. So that's a podcast that I'll do on itself eventually. And then how to maintain, like, your progress, how to maintain the weight that you've just gotten to over the last 8 weeks, you know, and how to plan your year and stuff. And some people just randomly decide, they wake up one day, oh yeah, I'm going to go on a diet. I used to be guilty of that. I used to be guilty of that all the time. Like, but if you actually plan your year out and you're like, okay, like January, I'm going to just maintain. February, March, April, I'm going to do a 12-week deficit because I'm going away in May. And then I'll go away for May, maintain my weight for like May, June, July, and then go back into a deficit August, September, October, and, you know, lose a bit more weight. And then, you know, I'll just maintain November and December then for Christmas. Like, that's just literally something off the top of my head. But instead of just eating crap and eating rings around yourself all year round, then a holiday is around the corner, like, oh yeah, I'll lose weight for that. Like, don't lose weight for a holiday. Lose weight to be healthier, to be fitter, to add longevity to your life, okay? Not just for a holiday. And I also taught them about, like, you know, we are taught so much as a society how to lose weight. And I said it to them as well. I goes, I bet you if I said to you, name me 5 ways to lose weight, they'd all be able to give me 10. But if I said to them, okay, now tell me how you're going to maintain that. Well, you're not going to be in a calorie deficit after you've finished the diet. So how are you going to maintain it? And we don't know that. A lot of women, a lot of people in general don't know how to do it. All we learn about is how to lose, and we never learn about how to maintain it. So I taught them that as well. And that's something that you learn with me when you're working with me one-on-one as well. But my next 8-week challenge starts in October. So the start of October till the end of November, and then you'll be all set for Christmas. So keep an eye about that. I'll be sending out emails on my to my newsletter list or my mailing list. I don't really advertise when I take on one-on-ones or my challenge. Like, I'll say that I'm going to be opening up applications, and then you can just click here to sign up to my mailing list. I put that on my Instagram stories, but I'll never advertise, oh, send me a DM if you want to work with me. Like, I do it all through my mailing list. So make sure you're signed up to that. I have the link in my bio. But anyway, okay, so what is the perfect way? And how did I get to thinking about this? I was out on a walk the other day, and I was looking at my current pictures of me in a calorie deficit, and I've experienced both ends of the spectrum. Okay, so I've been at my heaviest, which was 70 kg. Now, I know some people who are listening to this will probably like, well, you know, Enya, I'm 80 kg, I'm 90 kg, like, I know some people are like, that's nothing, but 70 kg was the heaviest I've ever been in my lifetime, you know. And that's when I was like, okay, like, Jesus, like, I've kind of let myself go. Like, you know, it was my lifestyle choices. And I've also been at the other end of the spectrum after I'd done my fitness photo shoot, where I was 50 kg. So there's 20 kg in the difference there. Now, what is the perfect weight? Like, everyone is going to be totally different, okay? Like, for example, like, I coach so many women, and they all send me like their starting pictures, and then obviously when they lose the weight, then they have their after pictures. But like, I'm 60 kg now at the minute. Okay, and I could put 5 women in front of me that I've coached who could also be 60 kg, and they'd be all different shapes and sizes. So if you look at someone online, like, say you look at me, for example, like, Jesus, I sound very vain here, but say you look at me and you're like, oh, I want to be Enya's weight. Like, I want to look like her, she's 60 kg, and you could be like, say, 80 kg. Like, you could get to 60 kg and look nothing like me, like, have a totally different physique, you know, because like I just said, I could put 5 women in front of me that I've coached and they were 60 kg, but they were all different shapes and sizes. And it comes down to like bone mass, muscle mass, fat mass, obviously, as well. But I've been both ends of the spectrum, you know, I've been overweight and then I've been nearly underweight. And to be honest now, if I hadn't been in the gym for the last 2 years, like pumping iron, eating protein consistently, like, I probably would have looked sicker if I was 50 kg because I would have had no muscle mass on me, and I probably would have been lighter. I probably would have been 45 kg because I wouldn't have had muscle tissue on me. Like, muscle weigh is something as well, you know. So that's why I saw me like 5 women in front of me who would be my weight, but they'd be all different shapes and sizes. But like, one could look, be extra, like, well, they could be thinner than me, but they'd weigh 60 kg because they could be taller because of their bone mass, you know, muscle mass, etc. Like, just like the weight that I'm at now, if I had no muscle mass on me, I'd probably be only about 55 kg. Like, you know what, actually probably a lot lighter. Like, I'm not going to say I only have 5 kg of muscle, but it just varies across person to person. So what you should never do is never strive to be someone else's weight, okay? Because you could get to that weight and look totally different. And another thing is, like, a lot of people do get obsessed with a scale number. So the last thing you want to do is to be chasing this scale number, okay? And then you get to that number and you're very disappointed, okay? Because you're like, oh, I thought I'd look totally different. I'm more about chasing a look. Like, obviously, when the scale's going down, yeah, you're losing fat mass, which is also good. And it means that we're going somewhere and that what we're doing is working. But, you know, you could look totally different when you get to that weight, or you might be disappointed and you're like, oh, is this what I look like? Like, as someone who has been off the, like, both ends of the spectrum, I have the luxury of hindsight, okay? So you'll always have a new standard every time you lose weight or you get to a weight that you've never been before. I notice it, like, a lot of girls who've done fitness photo shoots, like, they'll text me about this, obviously, because I've done a fitness photo shoot and I can relate. But when I got to 50 kg, I remember, you know, for a couple of months afterwards, every time I went off plan and, you know, had two meals out on the weekend or had a few days away or I went on holiday, the body dysmorphia was off the charts. Like, I'd come home and I'd be looking at myself in the mirror and I'm like, no, I've gained fat. And I'd be like, 56 kg, okay? And I look back at pictures of me when I was 56 kg because I used to send me coach pictures every week, even if it was just at maintenance. And I look at that now and I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, I was still so lean. But in that moment in time, your perception is just warped. You're like, no, I'm putting on weight, I'm putting on weight. And I look back at pictures now and I'm like, I'd actually love to be that lean again. But I also remember that I didn't have curves and I didn't have a bum and I didn't have a chest. So I have a sweet spot now. And that's what I'm talking about. I have the luxury of hindsight and, you know, perseverance. I've been at both ends of the spectrum. So I have a sweet spot. And I know now that between 57 and 60 kg is a sweet spot for me because I still have curves. I still have a bum. I still have a chest. And, you know, yeah, I'm carrying a little bit of fat, but not enough where I feel self-conscious or I feel like my jeans are getting tighter and stuff. Like, for example, I'm back into my size A shorts now. I've been trying on holiday clothes that I wore in Lanzarote in January. You know, they're size 8, and when I was in Thailand, Australia, I was back into my size 10. So, you know, that's great, but I wasn't losing weight to get back into a size 8. I was losing weight because I know my little sweet spot. You know, I know where I feel most confident. But a lot of women that I coach, they don't have that, I suppose, the luxury of that. It takes a long time to get that. Like, the amount of calorie deficits I've had to go in and then go back into maintenance, build muscle, etc., to have the physique I have today, it takes so much time. So what is your perfect weight? Well, at the moment, you don't have anything to compare that to, okay? So you're probably just saying to yourself, do you know what? I'll start with 10 kg and I'll see what I look like after I lose 10 kg. So if you're 80 kg, if you're 70 kg, you're like, do you know what? I'll wait to see what I look like after 20 pounds. That's not going to happen overnight. That's probably going to be two calorie deficit blocks. You know, that's going to be a 12-week calorie deficit, a month off at maintenance, and then we go again for another 12 weeks. It's not going to happen overnight, okay? If you do it in a sustainable way, you'll obviously be able to keep it off you. But you have to do it slow and gradual, you know? And then you might get then to 60 kg and you're like, John, I'd love to Tommy Aaron's a bit more. Okay, so we're going to maintain now and we're going to build a bit of muscle now in the gym. And then you go back into a deficit again. Like, I've been doing this for 3 years, you know, and it does take time. But also, you'll get to a point as well where you're like, actually, you know, I really like how I look. Because it was a point where I only got to see myself at 60 kg. I had never gone beyond that, you know. And when I did my first photo shoot, I got to about 58. But then my second photo shoot was when I got to 50 kg. And when I was 60 kg and I didn't know what I looked like before then, that was my standards. And I'd be looking at myself in the mirror like, Jesus, you know, I've never, like, looked this good, my physique, and I feel so much more confident. And then you go and lose another 10 kg and then that's your standard. So it took me months to kind of, like, get out of that body dysmorphia. like I'm 10 kg heavier now than I was on the day I did the photo shoot, you know, and I didn't gain that overnight. Now that happened like last summer, that happened over a year. But I'm also at a place now where I feel fit. I can run half marathons. You know, I'm stronger in the gym. I have a social life. And they are the things that you have to take into consideration as well. Like a six pack means fuck all if you have no social life, if you can't live. Okay. Yeah, it's fine to have momentarily, like on holiday or something, but to maintain something like that all year round, you have to be at an extremely low body fat percentage, and there's just no room for fun. Okay, so try not chase a six pack. Try chase fit and healthy and where you feel most confident. But you will, as the years go on, like if this is a lifestyle to you, like if you start at like, you know, 80 kg, like, you know, as the years go on, you will get down to like 60 kg and you'll have a new standard. And, you know, you'll want to maintain that, and that will stop you from doing a complete 360. Like, look, life is to be lived. You're going to have periods in life where, like myself, where I went on a number of holidays this year, and that was probably, you know, the most weight I've put on in, you know, a year or two. And I knew I'd have a quiet somewhere to get back on the horse, and that's what I did. But for the most part, you will stay in between, like, 2 to 3 kilos of your actual, you know, your goal weight, your sweet spot. I remember someone saying before, like, you should always be 8 weeks within your holiday body. So that's about 4 kg. Okay. So, you know, throughout the year, like, you're going to have events on, you're going to have holidays, you're going to have weekends away. Like, you probably will put on a couple of kg over a few months if you've had a very social few months. But to be like 8 weeks away from your holiday weight, like, that's nothing in the grand scheme of things. But see, some people spend most of their year just eating rings around themselves, like being sedentary, shit lifestyle, binge drinking, eating takeaways constantly, to the point where you're 8 months away from your holiday weight. Okay, so that's the type of stuff that keeps you on track as well. Like, yeah, some people only go on holiday once a year. Like, again, you're gonna slip, you're gonna have social occasions, you're probably gonna put on 2 or 3 kg. But to the point where, you know, you whack on 10 kg over a year, like, either something's going on personally, or, you know, you've let bad habits creep back in. So yeah, sometimes it's nice to keep yourself in check and stay accountable. And that was something that I spoke to my group about on Monday. I was like, look, you have to treat maintenance like a calorie deficit as well. No, you're not going to be in a calorie deficit. But, you know, I used to be guilty of this. When I did my first maintenance phase with my coach after I did my first deficit block with him, you know, you're eating more food again, well, enough food to maintain your weight. And all of a sudden, like, you're still doing cardio, but not as much as you were doing when you were in a deficit. So say I was doing 40 minutes after each session, gym session. I'm only doing 20 minutes now. What I would do is I would do my gym session and I'd be like, oh, you know, well, I'm not looking to drop body fat, and I'm kind of really tired after that gym session. So you start skipping cardio. Then your steps start slacking because you're not chasing fat loss anymore. You're not looking for a low number on the scale anymore. And suddenly, it doesn't become as interesting then to be doing cardio because you're not chasing a number anymore, okay? So you have to keep yourself in check in those situations, because when that stuff starts slipping, what happens is you're starting to eat more food now and you're not moving as much anymore. So that starts to turn into you're actually being in a surplus now because you're not moving anymore. But when you are eating enough food to correlate to the amount of activity that you're doing, you're going to maintain your weight, you know? But if you're eating more food and moving less, that's going to start to turn into fat gain. So it's a lifestyle. It's not a means to an end, all right? Some people only eat healthy and go to the gym when they have a holiday around the corner. And then when they come back from the holiday, they go back into all habits and they just gain all the weight that they've lost. And that's how quickly it happens. So treat it like a lifestyle. No, you're not going to be doing as much cardio. Still keep your steps nice and high. And still go to the gym, okay? And just make better choices with food. And yeah, there's room for the fun foods and for socializing. And you could probably still calorie bank as well if you wanted to, if you have a big occasion coming up on the weekend. But don't think just because you're at maintenance that, you know, you can let bad habits slip back in. Oh, well, I'm not chasing fat loss. Because that's when you do stray away from your sweet spot, your sweet weight or your sweet physique. And then you're just chasing your tail and it turns into a vicious cycle. So yeah, try going into each week with good intentions. And, you know, when you've gotten to a space and when you've gotten to a place where you like what you see in the mirror, and that's another thing, lads, you're never going to be happy. You're never going to be satisfied. You're going to keep wanting more. You're going to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, yeah, I like how I look, but could I be thinner? right? I got to 50 kg and I was still thinking that. So that's never going to go away. So you have to sometimes just have to stop yourself and be like, no, I'm fit, I'm healthy, I feel like a woman, I feel curvy, and I can socialize, I have a life, and I'm strong in the gym and I have energy. Okay, anything where, you know, your bones start popping out of your skin and your six pack is bulging out of your stomach, like, you won't have a life, like, you won't. And that's in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, just to finish up the podcast, there is no perfect way, but there is a nice sweet spot, you know, like a 5 kg range. I think I spoke about that, like, when I did my photo shoot, that I wanted to try linger between 55 kg to 60 kg. But, you know, I'm happy now. If I was to lose any more, fair enough, but I wouldn't like to go below 57 kg. But yeah, if you are treating this like a lifestyle, you will get to a point as well. Like, as you go through calorie deficit after calorie deficit and obviously have maintenance phases in between, you will get to a point where, like, oh, like, I really like my physique. I'm stronger in the gym, I'm running for longer periods. And if I wanted to become thinner, I could lose some of that progress, you know, the strength, the fitness, etc. So yeah, everyone's completely different. There is no perfect way. And just because I'm 60 kg doesn't mean you're going to look the same as me when you're 60 kg. Okay, we're all different heights, we're all different widths, we all have different bone mass, we all have different muscle mass, different genetics, etc. So it's more about chasing a look. Yes, we can lose weight on the scale to, that's an indicator that we're dropping body fat, but we aren't going to look exactly the same at the same weight. Okay, I hope that wasn't confusing. Sometimes I can go off in tangents and sometimes I don't make sense. But yeah, hopefully you do. And look, don't be afraid to reach out, give me some ideas for topics. Some weeks I do struggle because there's only so many ways you can skin a cat or explain a calorie deficit, etc. But I might be missing something that someone else wants to learn about or isn't educated enough on. And yeah, I could do a podcast on that. So yeah, thanks for tuning in and have a great week.